the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Should we just pray? Father God, thank you that you hear us. Thank you that your Son, Jesus, was born and he is the Prince of Peace. Thank you. Amen. Good morning. My name is Saz Flint. Please carry on colouring. You can colour at the back or you can colour at the front. I'm here to tell you a little bit more and to open up a little bit more the story of the shepherds and the angels. I'm not sure how I can top John's video, though. Thank you, John. I don't know where you are for all your work doing those videos. They've been really helpful and really good. So, as we think about the shepherds and the angels, I just have a question for you first, because this story is about Christmas. And I have a question for you, and the question is this: what do you think makes a grown-up? What do you think makes a grown-up a grown-up? Now, I'm not thinking about things like living and owning or renting houses and driving a car. I'm thinking about the little things that makes a grown-up a grown-up. So I'm going to give you two things that I think makes a grown-up. One thing is, when I've gone swimming, now I'm a grown-up. I go swimming, I get my swimming costume, and I get my wet towel, and I come home, and I hang it up. I never thought I would be a person who hung up my swimming costume as soon as I got home. Another thing, I remember when I was a child and I'd go and stay with my grandma and granddad, and maybe it was the summer holidays and we'd go for a walk. We always had to go for a walk with grandma and granddad. And they would say, "Oh, I'm really thirsty. I'm really thirsty. I want a hot cup of tea." I mean, a hot cup of tea. When I was a child, it had to be a cold drink to quench my thirst. So can you think, and maybe chat to the person next to you, and I'm going to come around with a microphone, what you think makes a grown-up, and this is for you kids as well, what makes the grown-ups who look after you grown-ups? Okay, is there anyone brave enough who wants to give us some ideas? Oh.
This is very sad. It's going to bed before Match of the Day comes on.
Okay, we've got another one. That's a good one. I like that. Putting sleep before football.
Not going on the trampoline after you've eaten.
Not going on the trampoline after you've eaten.
Grown-up is someone who pays taxes.
Oh, yeah, don't we know it? Anything else? Oh, Finn.
Someone who falls asleep straight after lunch.
Someone who falls asleep straight after lunch.
Carry nearly everything.
Yes, carry nearly everything and knows where everything is in the house.
I had a moment when I was sort of grown up, when you get excited about things you really shouldn't get excited about. Carpet. I once caught myself saying, "That's an amazing carpet," and that was it.
You can get treatment for that, you know, Johnny.
Make you feel safe and calm.
Oh, that's a great one to end on, but I think I'm going to have to give James.
When you sound like this when you sit down.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, here's another question. Do you think that grown-ups or children get more excited about Christmas?
I think grown-ups are quite bored sometimes because they get to do Christmas shopping, not exciting things.
Oh, that is a perfect answer. So when I was about your age, me and my brother, we would spend endless hours thinking about Christmas. We would imagine what we were going to do, what it was going to be like, what we'd do on Christmas Eve, what games we'd play with our cousins, who would wake up first, who would sleep where, how long it would take Uncle Roger to get a cup of tea before we could open our presents. We were so excited. And I think Joseph is right that sometimes now all I see is a big, long list of things to do. But this story is about uncontainable excitement about Christmas. And it's not just children who get excited about Christmas. Gary's going to come and read us the story now.
So we're going to read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And verses 8 to 20. So if you want to read from the Church Bible in front of you, it's on page 970. So chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the flocks in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you. So let's imagine these shepherds on a hillside just outside the town of Bethlehem. They're on their night shift, a bunch of ordinary shepherds. Ordinary people, quite low status. They didn't have fancy jewellery. They didn't have fancy clothes. Just a bunch of guys looking after their sheep. And little did they know that down in the town, the most amazing thing had happened. Look at verse 9. An angel appears to them. I mean, it's easy to say, isn't it? But imagine it, an angel appears to them. Now, angels, we've heard a lot about angels. They appear quite a lot in the Christmas story. An angel is not a human. It's not a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. An angel is a supernatural being, an otherworldly person. The Bible tells us that angels live in heaven with God. They do what God wants. They are part of a world we don't understand, a holy, glorious, beautiful, amazing world. And 1,000 years before this happened, there was a man called David, and he is the David that the city is named after. The town of David is where Mary and Joseph went to. And David was a shepherd, but God made him a king, and David wrote lots of songs. And at the end of one of his songs, he tells us what angels are like. He says this in Psalm 103, verse 20 to 22. "Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all you heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his works everywhere in his dominions." So angels are mighty ones who do things that God tells them to do. And that means sometimes they get sent to earth to send really important messages. And the shepherds would have known that this was amazing, because we also read that the glory of the Lord shone around. And of course, John drew what happened to the shepherds. What happened to the shepherds when this happened? How did they feel? Scared. They were terrified. They were shaking. You know, he says, the angel says to them, don't be afraid. And you think, well, it's all right for you, Mr. Angel, but the glory of a supernatural God coming down on a hillside during my night shift, I mean, that's a bit terrifying. And then this angel says to them, I think, three of the most earth-shattering sentences the shepherds had ever heard, and three of the most earth-shattering sentences we will ever hear. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Sentence one. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Sentence two. Today, in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Sentence three. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Three earth-shattering sentences, 53 words. You can count them if you get bored, but there's 53 words that change the whole world. This is like heaven, where God reigns, and there's loads of angels who do what he wants, connecting with earth, where ordinary people like the shepherds, like you and me, are living. This is like, I was trying to think of an example of what this might be like. This is like a lightning bolt. This is heaven connecting to earth. Have you ever seen forked lightning? Has anyone seen forked lightning? So when you see a line in the sky, I'm sure a lot of you had. I remember when I was 15, I was at a friend's house. They lived right by the sea, and it was a summer's evening, just beginning to get dark, and a storm came. And a group of us went up to the first floor bedroom window, and we watched this forked lightning over the sea, on the horizon between the sky and the sea. And it was so powerful and so amazing that I've still remembered it over 30 years later. It's heaven connecting to earth. It's so awesome and so powerful. And for the shepherds, it would have been like that, but times a thousand, times a million. This amazing power. The Lord, the one who saves. And don't you think our world needs a bit of saving? But he came. Heaven connected to earth wasn't a king riding on a chariot with all the angels. It was a baby. A baby. A really vulnerable baby. The Son of God, heaven connected to earth, gets born in exactly the same messy, painful way that every single person in this room was born. Heaven connecting with earth. It's like heaven is being earthed by the birth of this baby. Heaven connecting with ordinary, grumpy, smelly people like the shepherds and like you and me. Three sentences, 53 words, not a word wasted, a lightning bolt, heaven connecting earth. And then we read that the heavenly hosts, that just means lots and lots and lots and lots and lots. These angels, you kind of get the impression that they're waiting in the wings, if you forgive the pun. They're waiting in the wings for this kind of lead angel to say those three sentences, and they're like, something really good's happening, and I'm getting really excited. And then we're going to find out what they do when they get excited. But first, what do you do when you get really excited? If you're really, really excited about something, can you have a think? And especially if you're sitting next to someone who knows you really well, get them to tell you what you do when you get really excited. And we'll find out what we do.
Jump up and down and sing, mummy, daddy, daddy, oh, mummy, mummy.
Did you hear that? That was jump up and down and say, daddy, daddy, mummy, mummy. I do a bit of jumping up and down when I get excited. Oh, there's lots of hands up over here.
Daddy runs down the road doing a really funny dance.
Daddy runs down the road doing a funny dance. No, I won't ask you to do that. That would be too cruel.
Ice cream.
You eat ice cream when you get excited.
Daddy runs down the road to jump up in a rocket.
It's getting more impressive, Mark. You'll be flying to the moon soon.
Shout.
You shout. I think a lot of people shout when they get excited, Grace.
He goes crazy.
How does he go crazy? No, not I think he's going a bit crazy now. Oops, sorry. So we do all sorts of things, and I wonder, oh, come on, Theo, what do you do when you get excited?
Bounce up and down.
Bounce up and down. It's funny, isn't it? Grown-ups are a little less bouncy than children. You don't agree, Elise?
I bounce up and down and I don't listen.
Oh, such insight for one so young. Bounce up and down and don't listen. Well, we'll take the bouncing up and down. So, what do angels do when they get excited? Angels get together in big groups and they sing. So what they do is they say, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory in the highest, and on earth peace to those, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. We saw this picture at the all-age service. I loved it. Hosts of angels saying, glory in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Heaven connecting to earth, peace between heaven and earth like never before. Johnny and the band are going to come up and sing, and we're going to sing a song before we remember more about the story of Jesus and break bread together. So we've thought a lot about Jesus being born, the start of the story, because it's Christmas and it's such great news. But that was just the start of the story of how Jesus would save us, how he would bring peace on earth. You know, the lightning bolt connecting heaven to earth, the shepherds praising, was just the start. And near the end of Jesus's life, we get this. We get Jesus sharing a meal of bread and wine with his closest friends just before he's going to die. I wonder if we could look at those sentences that we looked at before, but in reverse order. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. The shepherds said to each other, let's go and see this thing that has happened. And they hurried off and they found him. They found Jesus just as the angel had said. And that's a really good thing for us to do. Whether you haven't been to church very much in your life, whether you haven't thought about Jesus, or whether you've been to church every Sunday of your life and thought a lot about Jesus, it's a good thing for all of us to see what happened, to go and check out this Christianity thing, this Jesus thing. Can we see his vulnerability? The shepherds went off and they saw a baby wrapped in cloths, a tiny baby, completely dependent on the grown-ups around him. And as he grew from a baby to a man, Jesus, he never got rich or powerful. He never got lots of fancy clothes or fancy jewellery. He stayed vulnerable. And right at the end of his life, he didn't even have a cloth to cover him. Sentence two, today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The baby the shepherds hurried off to see that night became a man who died for us. And eating bread and drinking wine is the way that Jesus asked us to remember his birth to remember his life, to remember his death. Do you believe that he died in your place to save you, to be your Messiah, to be your Lord? Do you believe that his death was punishment for the mess we get ourselves in, for the way we treat others, for the unkind words we say, for our greed and our selfishness? Have you checked it out? Have you seen what happened to Jesus? And do you say, yes, he died for me? If you do, then please eat the bread and drink the wine as it goes past. And if you're not sure, then you can just let it pass by. But maybe, like the shepherds, you want to hurry and check out this thing that had happened. And if you do, we've got things going on next year. Come and talk to me, or Johnny, or anyone else you know who follows Jesus, to find out how you can go and see what happened like the shepherds did. So just before we send round the bread and wine, let's say this really simple prayer together. I'm going to read it out, and then if you would like to join me, and we'll say it together. It says this: I'm sorry for my mess. Thank you for coming to earth and saving me. You are my Messiah and Lord. Let's say this together. I'm sorry for my mess. Thank you for coming to earth and saving me. You are my Messiah and Lord. Let's think about that first sentence. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Heaven and earth were connected on that hillside all those years ago, and heaven and earth are connected at this table. And Jesus died, but because he was who the angels said he was, he came back to life, and he's alive today, and we are connected to heaven. We can be the children of the living God. We are loved by God, and he finds favour in us. That's amazing, isn't it? That's good news of great joy. That's something to get excited about in whatever way you get excited. So let's glorify God and praise God, just like the shepherds did when they went back to their sheep. And they joined with the angels and said, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. So let's sing together and join with the angels. God can hear us when we're singing with the angels.